Every time I hear that, it reminds me of him. And as I've said publicly before, his dad taught me the Bible. Like I didn't know it. Bye, Miss Obenauer. Thank you for waving. Okay. Man. Mark chapter 13. That's where we're at. Again, we're in the beginning days of the last week of Jesus Christ's life here on earth before He was crucified, died, buried, and rose again, and ascended into heaven. We have the remaining chapters are all of the last week of His life here on earth. And there's a sense of urgency to Him about getting across what He needs to get across, especially to His disciples who were there and living and being with Him and seeing it day in and day out, but they just wasn't getting it. He explained to them numerous times how He had to be crucified, how He was going to die and rise again, and they just really wasn't getting the absolute true story. They wasn't getting it. It's evident that they didn't get it after He was crucified. They left. They went 100 miles up to the Sea of Galilee. They left out. They just didn't get it. I believe only two people recorded in the Bible really got it. Mary, who broke the ointment and poured it on Him that she was keeping for His burial. He said, "Leave her alone. She gets it. I'm not going to need this." And then I believe John, it says when he went to the tomb, stooping down and looking in, he saw and believed. He believed. He said, "Oh, yeah, this is it. Yeah, He's not here. That's right." Because He said He would rise again. So He's trying to get over to His disciples. But they've got all kind of other questions because remember, their forethought right now is He's going to set up His kingdom. And we're in a pretty good spot. You know, it's kind of like if somebody you knew was going to be president, you go, "Man, I'm going to get me a cabinet spot." That's kind of where they were at. So they're thinking all along that okay, He's here, He's come, and now He's going to set up His earthly kingdom. But He wasn't going to do that yet. That's not what He came for at that time. He came at that time to seek and save the lost. So as He tries to get these points across to them, they have other questions. They have questions pertaining to themselves, really. One of the questions that arises today is, He speaks of the end times. And they said, "Well, man, isn't that a question we all want answered? Man, that's my question. Oh, tell me about the end times. How's that all going to happen?" Well, you know what He told us? All we got to do is look at it. My old pastor that, not old, old, my, oh, I stuttered. My old pastor, former pastor, talked about a friend of his that wrote a book, 88 Reasons Why Christ Will Return in 1988. He missed all 88 of them, I guess. I mean, I hope I wouldn't be here. But I was reminded as I was studying of it this week that same issue is man are all the time trying to set a date or predict a date. I've told y'all before, the church doesn't have any dates that anybody knows of. Jesus Christ said, "I don't know the date. The angels in heaven don't know the date. Only the Father." Because it's the church. We're not of this world. We don't have dates. We're not in time and space, okay? That our earthly home is here, but we're already residents in heaven, right? Everybody get that? There's no time clock here for the church. It was put into this space and time Now, the time clocks that are in the church deal with the Jews. Deal with the Jews. So, as Jesus begins to explain to them about the end times, He's going to talk about those who remain here, which will be the Jews. We won't remain here, y'all. I don't care what dispensation you're akin to. God's always gotten His people out. Tribulation's going to be just what it is. It's going to be a time of great tribulation. We're going to read today where it says, tribulation has not ever been seen before on the face of the earth. I don't know about y'all, but I've read about some pretty horrific things. You know, we've had world wars because they've tried to exterminate the Jews. It's coming again. History's going to repeat itself. There's going to be things that had never been seen. Understand, the last war we went through, we saw stuff that we'd never thought of before. With the multimedia and stuff, we've been misprivileged to see things that happen that we only thought about, but we're able to actually see some horrific things. Jesus says, when the time comes, you've never seen anything like it. It's a warning. I mean, I've heard people say, you know, don't try and scare somebody to heaven. I'll tell you, get them to heaven however you can. You know what? If you're scared of consequences, you either will do something or you won't do something. California is fixing to vote on marijuana being a misdemeanor, same as a traffic ticket. Well, is it okay to go ahead and do it then? Because we all speed, right? I mean, drive traffic. Well, now they'll just write you a citation. You'll go pay it. And so is it okay? I'll tell y'all that it's okay to throw your trash out on the side of the road in America. Yes, it is. They've got signs posted on the side of the road that says littering, $500 fine. If you pay the money, you can do it. Am I right? So it's okay, right? But if you can pay it, someone like you, you can do your garbage every week, Kurt. I know. But Jesus is trying to get across how severe it's going to be. He's going to talk about some of these end times, but the church is going to be raptured out. That's us. That's born-again believers are going to be raptured out. Also heard on Monday, I thought this was funny. We talked about it going to watch my son's football game. The United Nations has created an ambassador to extraterrestrials. Edna, it happened. She's got an office, as my son said, probably, you know, secretaries and everything. We're paying for it. Go ahead and laugh. They set up an ambassador for extraterrestrials. When they land here and they say, take us to your leader, she's the one that goes and gets them and says, okay, here's who we're... I'm dead serious. And I laughed just like everybody else did. Stan, you're laughing. You're laughing. But let me tell you something, guys. One day, I'm going to be raptured out of this world. And those that are unbelievers aren't going to have a clue where I went. All of my belongings and things are going to be laying around. Somebody is going to have to explain where I went. We've got an ambassador that will probably come forth and say, you know what? They didn't come and talk to me, but they is here. They come and sucked a lot of people out of here. You already know I'm crazy, so I can put this out there, right? They're trying to get a proposition in Denver right now to put the same thing on the ballot there for extraterrestrial communication. And I laughed about it, and I thought, wait a minute. Somebody's going to have to come forward. The church is still going to be here. Ask the Vatican. Hey, everything's fine. We're still here. Look, we're still in business, right? That's what they're going to say. Catholic Church. Oh, is this on? I was amused by it until I got to thinking, you know what? Might be some validity to that. Now we've got somebody in a reputable position with the United Nations. I know, that's tongue-in-cheek too. David, stop. But somebody's going to have to come forward and explain what happened to the church. Jesus Christ says, we're going to be raptured out. The world don't understand the rapture. They don't understand what's going to happen. But Jesus Christ tries to explain it to His disciples here, and He talks about, and you got to get this, there is no time set for the church, but there is time set for the remaining people here, the Jews and the Gentiles who haven't been saved, okay? So after we pray, Mark chapter 13. Father, I thank You for this day, and Lord, for the wonderful weekend You've given us. Lord, for the wonderful weather, and Father, just for the good time that was had, Lord, with Your people, and Lord, that we could have a time like that and enjoy each other, Lord, in Christ. And Lord, I pray that You would teach us, Lord, today, and Lord, that we would see, Lord, as Your Word says, that we won't be deceived, Lord, that we would know in our hearts the true Christ, and Lord, that we wouldn't in those final days be deceived, Lord, as You say, even some of the elect would. So, Lord, help us to fortify our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we would be strengthened in You. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. We finished last week with 13 and verse 10. He says, the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak. Neither do you premeditate whatsoever shall be given you in that hour. That ye speak, for that is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. The book of Acts shows us the actions of the apostles as they went out and started the early churches or continued the early churches. Stephen was the first martyr, and his story is written down there in the book of Acts. Stephen's story is incredible because he stands and he tells the Jewish leaders at that time, look, God sent you a Savior numerous times, and you've killed every one of them. And He finally sent His Son, and you killed Him. He begins to name all the Old Testament prophets that came before Him and said, you killed Him, and you killed Him, and you killed Him. And when He finally says, just like you killed Jesus Christ, they couldn't do anything to refute it, and all they could do was their anger was to kill Him. And they stoned Him to death, but when they did it, they were horribly afraid of Him because they said His face looked like He'd seen the angels in heaven. And I'll tell you what, I'm sure that haunted them for a long time. We know that it haunted the Apostle Paul because he was there with them. But he says, don't take any thought to what you're going to say. Don't premeditate it. Don't think the conversation through, because the Holy Spirit will give you the unction to say whatever it is. You know, we talk about that going out on visitation. You go, man, I can't talk to people. And don't worry about that. Holy Spirit will lead you through it. You know, you just go out and be the witness that you are. And again, all a witness does is tell their story, what God did for them. That's all a witness does. We're not to try and be a lawyer and defend or any. We don't do any of that. All we do is witness. That's all we got to do is say, you know what? Here's what God did for me. I did a sermon several years ago about three guys. You know, Joshua said, hey, you guys can go and serve the gods of whom land y'all now dwell in. Their gods wasn't good enough to keep you from having their land, but you can serve them. But as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Then there was the blind man who was blind from birth. And they said, hey, tell you what, curse this sinner, but praise God. And he said, you know what? Whether this man be a sinner or no, one thing I know, once I was blind, and now I see. And that's the guy right there that did it. Y'all can believe what you want to, but for me, that's him. And the third guy was me. I'll tell you what God did for me. Y'all can have your own stories, but I'll tell you what He did for me. That's how I once was. This is how I now am. Jesus says, don't worry about what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will give you that. Verse 12 says, now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. He's telling that in the end times, it's going to be so bad that the authorities will come to households and say, what about it? Is there any Christians here? And brother and father and ones alike are going to go, you know what? We're all good. But over there, I know my kin folks, I know what they do, trying to save their own hide. Those things are going to happen. We've seen evidence of it before where, you know, spare me, but go after them. And Jesus said, you're going to see that more predominant, so much so, brother against brother, children against parent, you know, go get them. I think one of the saddest things in our economy is when relatives quit speaking to each other. And that's such a terrible thing. I don't care what it was. I don't care what it was. It doesn't matter. You know, we want to use the old coinage, blood's thicker than water, but sometimes we don't practice that. You know, I've heard of siblings not talking to each other and go, well, why aren't y'all talking? Well, I don't remember, but they did it. Well, if you don't remember, start over, you know. Verse 14, here's where he starts in just telling them the time periods. He says, but when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. He says, when you see the abomination of desecration to the temple. All right, here's what's going to happen. The church is going to be raptured out, I believe. The Antichrist will come on the scene. And for 3.5 years, things are going to be great. I think I can set the scenario up of the rapture taking place and literally all hell on earth breaking loose. Just think of what the economy will do once Gene Huff's money's taken out. Think of what that's going to do to the economy. You know? I mean, every one of us have some type of notage or something that's done. Not responsible for it anymore. Got my home in heaven. You know? The economy is going to be in disarray beyond belief. Just with the Christians that are taken out. The voids in the workplace, the voids in just your everyday living, there's going to be total chaos, as Christ says, in the twinkling of an eye. When we least expect it, bam, it's going to be total chaos. Someone is going to have to step forward and calm everybody down that's still here. I have my own opinions. If y'all don't leave me alone, I'll share them with you. Someone's going to have to step forward and say, everything's going to be okay. Look, we got it under control. Here's what happened to those people. Understand? Okay. Here's how we're going to progress forward. And for 3.5 years, it's just going to be great. Everyone's going to live in harmony. They're going to get over us being gone, get the economy back working. More than likely, they'll make it a one world monetary system so that we get everybody, hey, it's not just the American money that's hurting, but it's also Europe. I mean, the Christians around the world, okay? So somebody's going to have to get all that rounded back up. He's going to be a very cunning, a very charismatic guy. It's going to be a man. He's going to step forward. He's going to say, everybody calm down. It's going to be okay. It's going to be great for 3.5 years. At the 3.5 year mark, he's going to change and put himself in the temple to be worshipped, in the Jewish synagogue, in the temple in Jerusalem. He's going to set up an image. And let me tell you how powerful he's going to be. He's going to be able to make that image come alive. That's going to turn some heads. Jesus said, don't be led astray by this. He's going to be so charismatic and so powerful that people are going to begin to listen to him. But when he sets up his image in the temple, that is the desecration, the abomination of desolation. That's what that is. And you can start X-ing off the calendar 1,260 days, 3.5 years, however you want to do it, you can start X-ing each day until Christ's second coming. Those who remain here will be able to do that. They'll be able to know how many more bad days they've got. And each day is going to be worse than the day before. Because the powers that be at that time are going to be searching for anyone who hasn't accepted the mark of the beast. They're going to be searching them out. People are going to be giving you up. Hey, there's some guys in the hills. They've got them a little commune down there. Go get them. And they're going to be going after them to either receive the mark of the beast or to be martyred. Your martyrdom is going to be your ticket to salvation. If you say, I refuse that, you're professing Christ. They're going to have goon squads like never seen before, coming and chasing and trying to find people. Millions upon millions are going to be put to death. Millions upon millions. He says, when you see the temple being changed and set up that way, you can just start marking your calendar. 1,260 days, Christ returns. That's the coming that the Jews are looking for, by the way. That's the one they're looking for. We're going to see him before that. Because he's going to return in the clouds. And we're going to meet him in the air. And that's something I don't think we've wrapped our minds around yet. I believe, fully believe in my lifetime, that we'll be raptured out. Christ here at the end of this passage begins to tell about, remember the fig tree. When it sheds its leaves, see, summer is nigh. He says, it's drawing close. He says, when you see the abomination of desolation, start marking your calendars, those that are, remain here, because he's going to be here. Now, it says that this generation shall not pass before this comes to be. Now, the tricky part is understanding what a generation is. I imagine we could ask everybody in here and get 4 or 5 different answers of what a generation is. We have one example in Jesus' time. We understand that Jesus was crucified at 33.5 years of his life. The temple was destroyed in 70 AD, but Judaism as a national race was taken away in 135 AD. So right at a century for that prophecy to take place right then, that it was going to be done away with. So it could be anywhere from the generation we think of the 70 years, 72 years, forward even up to a century. We don't understand exactly what a generation is. Israel was given a state status or a country status in 1948. This generation shall not pass. 1948. It's not sure if that's the starting time, because Jerusalem and the temple was reclaimed in 1967. So it could be that's the starting point forward. And then again, we don't know how long a generation is. But I'll tell you again, bar being hit by a bus, I think with our own eyes we'll see that take place. I think we're at the time in history where we're going to see these events that were foretold 2,000 years ago and beyond, of it all taking place. From Malachi to Matthew, we have what's known as the 400 silent years, where no prophet stepped up and said, you know, God told me this or God said that. And people began to scoff. Is God dead? Did He go away? What's going on? People are doing the same thing today, y'all. Hey, He said He was going to return. When's it happening? It's been 2,000 years. What's happening? Just when you don't think about it, here He comes. As a thief in the night, in the twinkling of an eye. He says, in verse 14, He says, Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. And He goes on and He says, and let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. I pray that you take that your flight be not in the winter. Jesus says, let me tell you something. You read about Sodom and Gomorrah? Lot said, hey, we got to get out. The angel of the Lord said, He's going to rain down His wrath on Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember Lot's wife? You know, she was, don't turn around, don't even look back. Because here's the problem. We did a little deal at our house one time. I think, wasn't it a tornado deal or something? And we told the kids, what possession do you want, you know, to grab with you? You know, get one deal. Ties by anything was a ball. I don't remember, maybe he was 17. No, he was a lot younger. But what one possession would you take from your house? Jesus said, don't go down there and start debating all that. There ain't time. You need to flee to the mountains, and if you're not already there, you need to get there in a hurry. If you are there, don't go back. If you're on the housetop, don't go down and start, oh, I got to take this, I got to take this, I got to go. Once you see the temple being desecrated, that's the time. You take your calendar that day and you mark an X on it, because that's when it starts. Look what He says. He says, don't go down into the house. Don't debate what to take. Don't. If you're in the field, don't even go back to get your garment. Take off running. Flee. He says, and woe to them that be pregnant with child. You also have the burden of that. Trying to fend for your own life and someone else. Or even with a small child. That you've also... You know, you got enough problems running for your own life. Now you've also got to have this other one. Jesus said, you've got to escape in a hurry because they're coming for you. Listen, why do we find so much trouble with the world disliking us? We do, right? Come on, Dan. We find, you know, why don't they like me? They hated our Savior. Praise God they hate us. You know? Why do we have trouble finding that in those days, man, they are really going to have some hatred. They're going to be vehemently looking for whoever they can find to humiliate them enough to take the mark of the beast or to die right there on sight. It's going to be a horrendous time. Jesus said, "Woe to them that have a child." And you think about it, folks. Some big goon grabs your child and says, "All right, you're going to take the mark? What do you want to do here?" Jesus said, "Woe to them." Man, that's a tough spot. Now what do you do? What do you do? Do you deny Christ to save your child? Or do you watch your child be put to death and then you ultimately be put to death? By the way, that's the right answer. Standing in glory land. Man, standing at the throne. Tough decision. Don't know if I could do it. Think I could. But I'll tell you, Jesus said, "Woe to them people at that time." Man, there's another burden that's just going to be tough. Going to be tough on them. He says in verse 19, "For in those days shall be affliction such as not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And except that the Lord hath shortened those days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake. Whom He has chosen, He hath shortened the days." Now we always think of the elect's sake as being the Jews. You know, God's elect. But God has several different elects. You realize we're one of God's elect. We're a different group. We're the church. A lot of this prophecy is from Revelation, where the 144,000, God's elect, another group of elect, have a certain purpose and task. They're going to be going around trying to win people to Christ. At the same time, the Antichrist is going to have his bunch going around trying to kill those people. I mean, you guys understand, we have missionaries in China that have underground church. We had a missionary a couple of weeks ago that we couldn't mention where they were from because we're on the internet. And we would put them in harm's way. Well, there's rewards in heaven for that group. I'm telling you, to go into harm's way for God, you know, Stan and I was talking about it yesterday. On Wednesday, I ended up somewhere over around the Northeast Mall trying to head back to church on Wednesday night. I know why nobody comes on Wednesdays. My goodness. If I lived in that area right down in there, we need to have church on Thursday. So you could start on Wednesday getting here. And you'd be on time Thursday, maybe. Yeah, the Huffs wouldn't. I'm sorry, you're right. Man, I'm telling you. And we think, man, what persecution we go through. I'm going to be 5 minutes late to church on Wednesday night. And there's people we couldn't mention where they're from because they could be put to death. Wow. It says, "And except the Lord has shortened those days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom He hath chosen and has shortened the days." God's still in control. There'll be stuff going on here that He's allowing to happen, but God's still in control. And there's still opportunity for salvation. Verse 21 says, "And if any man shall say to you, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'Lo, He is there,' believe him not. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders and seduce, if it were possible, even the elect." You know why we beg and plead with people to come to Sunday school, be here at church? For that verse right there. Now one day, it's going to get tough. It's going to get tougher than it is now. You go, "Oh, well, here's the way out." Be careful. Christ said there's a lot of false prophets. I told y'all last week, there's mentioned on the radio and TV, prophetesses, women prophets, however you say that. Easy for you to say. And prophets that say they're prophets of God in Dallas. that are around that say, hey, I'm a prophet of God. Now, they're saying they're a prophet of God because they preach, but if you're just reading this, you're not really prophesying. It's already been done. You're just kind of, you're a reader of God, but I don't think there's a nice title for that. So, they're not really prophets of God. God speaks to us today through His Word. He says, don't add anything to it or take anything away. So He says, be aware, because there are already false Christs, and false prophets shall arise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. I told y'all last week, until Christ appeared on earth, there were never any false Christs. Since that time, there's been numerous ones. Numerous ones that said, I am He. Again, like the guy we talked about at the opening of 88 Reasons Why Christ is going to Return in 1988. Whoops. Missed that one. He come back and said, okay, it's September 1st, 1989. Whoops. Missed that one. Okay, I think I'll just be quiet for a while. Yeah. It's not for us to know. Jesus Christ doesn't know when He's returning to get us. He said that. He said only the Father knows. Because again, we're not locked into a time period. If you went back in time and looked into the ages, you wouldn't see the church. It was placed in here by God for a purpose. That purpose is almost fulfilled. It's almost done. We've almost done the entire church age. The seven letters in the book of Revelation refer to the seven churches and the church ages, okay? The last church age referenced in Revelation is Laodicea. Laodicea says that I am rich and in need of nothing. I talked last week about some of the mega churches. There are some out there that are really, really rich. Really, really rich. There's one right over here I drive by on my way here. The guy that runs it, he went out here and bought the land and built the church, or his church built the church, whatever. But he's got the land. Lo and behold, they drilled gas on his property. $1 million a month in his name. God bless the church, but this is my property. But we're in the final church age. Jesus says in verse 23, but take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. Man, you want to know why we beg and plead people to come to Sunday school and church? So they get these verses right here. So that you leave here with a solid foundation that you won't be moved, that you won't be shaken, that you're rooted and grounded in truth, and that you won't waver. My young son's here today. I pray that we had him rooted and grounded in the Word so that when he's away, he won't waver. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for your Word. Father, I pray that we would, Lord, as you said, that we wouldn't be seduced or, Lord, led astray, Lord, that we would stand on the Word, Lord, that we would know the end outcome, that we would, Lord, we would see these things coming, Lord, but that we would be looking down on them from heaven on high. Lord, we thank you again for Christ, Lord, for your plan. Lord, help us to work till Jesus comes. In Christ's name.